You're with SBS Radio. Find more great stories in your language at sbs.com.au.
Shalom, Australia. Deputy Health Minister Yaakov Litzman was questioned by police investigators on Thursday and will be questioned again today over suspicions he sought to help Malka Leifer avoid extradition to Australia over allegations she molested students in the ultra-Orthodox girls' school she headed in Melbourne. Litzman, who heads the United Torah Judaism Party, is suspected of ethics violations by having sought to obtain a falsified psychiatric report that would have prevented Leifer's extradition on medical grounds. Police say they have recordings of Litzman and officials in his office speaking to health ministry officials and pressing them to act on Leifer's behalf. Last night, the name of the chief suspect in the case, Dr. Yaakov Charnas, was released. U.S. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo said on Thursday that confronting Iran is an essential requirement for achieving peace in the Middle East. He was speaking in Warsaw ahead of a meeting with Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. He described the Islamic Republic as a malign influence in Lebanon, in Yemen, in Syria, and in Iraq. He said the three H's, the Houthis, Hamas, and Hezbollah, are the real threats, and there are others as well. But you can't get peace in the Middle East without pushing back against Iran. The International Middle East Conference opened on Wednesday, and Pompeo had announced that it would focus on the civil wars in Syria and Yemen, as well as the Israeli-Palestinian conflict and other security-related regional matters, apparently contradicting Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, who had said the event would focus on Iran. His remarks on Thursday, therefore, were greeted with approval in Israel. The foreign minister of Yemen on Thursday addressed Arab criticism for sitting next to Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu at the Warsaw conference, saying errors pertaining to protocol are the responsibility of the organizing parties. At the opening session, Netanyahu was placed next to Khaled Alimani, the Yemeni top diplomat, who was already in his seat when Netanyahu arrived, and as the latter sat down, the two men exchanged a brief smile. Later, Netanyahu prepared to address the delegates, but found that his microphone wasn't functioning properly. Alimani let him use his. Netanyahu and US leaders have hailed Arab leaders' willingness to sit alongside Israel at the conference. Netanyahu and Arab officials also shared a stage during a group photo of meeting participants. But Alimani responded to criticism, saying the position of Yemen on the Palestinian issue and its people and leadership is unwavering. Participation in Warsaw was not to discuss Palestine, but to rally the international community to confront the Iranian expansionism in Yemen. Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu's office on Thursday leaked a video in which the foreign ministers of three Arab countries can be seen harshly attacking Iran and defending Israel, and in one case saying that confronting the Islamic Republic is more pressing than solving the Israeli-Palestinian conflict. Asked on the sidelines of the conference if he believed that his country would establish diplomatic ties with Israel, Bahrainian Foreign Minister Khalid bin Ahmed Al Khalifa on Thursday answered, yes, eventually. Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu was forced to extend his trip to Warsaw into Friday after the plane on which he was scheduled to fly home was damaged just ahead of takeoff. The Prime Minister's plane, an El Al Boeing 777, was damaged by a pushback tractor that crashed into it as Netanyahu was about to leave just after midnight. A new plane was sent from Israel to Warsaw to bring the Prime Minister and his entourage back and arrived in Israel just in time for Shabbat. Some 11,000 Palestinians gathered near the Gaza Strip's border with Israel on Friday afternoon for weekly riots and protests against Israel, burning tires, throwing stones, explosive devices, and trying to breach the fence. An Israeli border police officer from an undercover unit was lightly wounded by shrapnel in the leg when a pipe bomb exploded next to his team. He was evacuated to hospital for treatment. Two former leaders of the 2011 social protest movement, Itzik Shmuli and Sthav Shafir, took top spots in the Labour primary election on Tuesday night. Shmuli and Shafir will be placed third and fourth on the slate behind party chairman Avi Gabay and a candidate of his choice whom he can appoint to the number two slot. Their high placing is seen as a vote for a younger generation of leadership for the party. Labour is currently set to score its lowest ever election results, with polls predicting it getting 5 to 7 seats only. Former leaders Shelley Yakimovich and Amir Peretz came in third and fourth places respectively. Merav Mikhaeli came in fifth, Omar Barlev sixth, followed by MK Revital Swid, newcomer Yair Fink, MK Michal Biran, and another rookie, Gavri Bargil. Veteran MK Ilan Gilon took the top spot in the Meretz Party's first ever open primary after 86% of the left-wing faction's members cast ballots on Thursday. Gilon will be placed second on the primary slate for upcoming elections behind party leader Tamar Zandberg. Incumbent MKs Michal Rosen and Isawi Frej took the second and third place, and newcomer Ali Shalalha, a Druze educator from the northern village of Bet Shan, placed fourth. Benny Gantz's Israel Resilience Party and Moshe Yalon's Telem, which will run together for the Israeli elections, announced new names for their list, including Eitan Ginsberg, who was the first openly gay mayor in Israel, Asaf Zamir, a former deputy mayor of Tel Aviv, former director general of the Culture and Sports Ministry, Orly Fruman, former head of the Be'eri Military Academy, Gadi Yevarkan, former head of the Shah HaNegev Regional Council, Alon Shuster, female ultra-Orthodox social activist, Omer Yankovich, and former head of the IDF Disabled Veterans Organization, Moshe Matalon. National Religious Parties, Jewish Home and National Union reached an agreement on Thursday to run on a joint slate. Under the arrangement, Jewish Home leader Rafi Peretz will head the combined list, while National Unit Chair Bezalel Smotrich, MK, will follow at number two and be given the ministerial portfolio that the party would likely receive if it enters the governing coalition. The Central Elections Committee on Friday barred the Labour Party from operating a free bus as part of its campaign calling for public transportation on Shabbat. The ruling came in response to a petition filed by the Shas Party alleging the free bus was a prohibited campaign gift. Supreme Court Justice Hanan Meltzer, who heads the Elections Committee, gave Labour and party leader Avi Gabay until Monday to file a response to the injunction. Shas leader and Interior Minister Aryeh Deri wrote after the ruling, "Mr. Gabay, please think again about the holiness of Shabbat and respecting the tradition you grew up in your father's home. Don't turn Shabbat into a cheap campaigning tool." A group of Palestinian and Israeli coexistence activists, including members of Tag Meir, visited the home of the Ansbacher family, who were sitting shiva for their daughter Ori, who was brutally murdered by a Palestinian man the previous Thursday. Ziad Zabatin of the southern West Bank town of Husan said outside the home in Tekoa, "We believe that the violent path brings nothing but violence." Speaking of the vicious murder, he said, "There is no religion in the world that supports this kind of act." This is Peter Jones Pelach reporting for SBS Radio from Jerusalem.
Tell us what you think. Rate this podcast on iTunes. It helps other people to find us.